You ever think about why I preach what I preach? Well, most of the time I feel like God led me to preach that, or that you need that, or whatever. But today I'm preaching to me, and I just invite you to listen in. Okay? I want to talk about time management. And I'm convinced that I'm not managing my time as well as I used to, nor as well as I ought to. And so, me and myself, we're just going to have a conversation, and you just listen in. You may learn some as well. Time is the stuff life is made of. Now, Diane said that's not good grammar, but anyway, that when I'm talking about time management, I'm really talking about life management, right? And a few people you run across have too much time. A few people have too much time. If you've ever sat in a hospital and waited for somebody to come out of surgery, the clock slows down. I mean, it takes forever for 5 minutes to go past. But if you're doing something you like, the clock speeds up. I mean, it just flies. So a few people have too much time, but most of us, there is not enough time to do what we want to do. There's just not enough time. There's so much more that we want to do that we have time to do. So some things have to get left out. Some things we have to make a priority list and decide, I'm going to do these things, and these things I won't get to. A number of years ago, one of the richest men in America was having trouble in his company with people not managing their time correctly. And he hired an efficiency expert by the name of Ivy Lee. His last name was Lee. And brought him in and said, check over my business here, look at people, evaluate them, see what happens, and see if you can help us be more effective in management of our time. And the story goes, and it almost became a legend, but I assume it's a true story, that he just gave this piece of advice, that what you need to do is each one of your people, tonight before they leave work, write down six things, the six most important things that they have to do. Write on a piece of paper the six most important things they have to do. Do that tonight before they leave work. And when they get here in the morning, start on the most important one. And work on that one till they finish it. Don't go to the second one, work on the first one. And he said, now maybe sometimes you have to wait for somebody else to do something, you can't finish the first one, then you can go start on the second one. But basically, you finish the first one and you go to the second one. And when you finish the second one, you go to the third one. And all the way down, you work through your six. When you get through your six, write to another six. And and there was some discussion about, well, how about all these other things we're not going to get done? And Ivy Lee said, well, you're going to get the most important stuff done. And if you didn't do it this way, you'd be doing some important stuff and some non-important stuff. So just do the most important stuff first. Work on it until you finish. Then go to the next one. And Ivy Lee didn't charge him, but Ivy Lee said, okay, just send me whatever you think this is worth. You try it for a couple of months, and whatever it's worth, you send me a check. And this was back in the 30s, I think, 30, 40, somewhere, a long time ago. And the rich man sent Ivy Lee a check for $25,000. Just the one simple idea that you make a list of the most important things you have to do and start with the most important one, finish that one, then go to the next important one. And if you don't have time to do the important ones, you wouldn't have time to do the important ones anyway. I mean, if you don't, you know, there are a lot of things left out. There are a lot of things you don't get to. But there are a lot of things you don't get to anyway. So I want us to talk about managing our time. And I want us to start with just two or three reminders from the Bible, okay? Just the scripture I read for a few minutes ago in Matthew chapter 22, and I'd like for you to look that up. I was tempted to put it on the board, but I really would like for you to look it up in your Bible. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." The most important thing in your life is your relationship to God. The most important thing in your life is your relationship with God. And relationships take time. Relationships take time. And the most important thing in your life is your relationship with God. And so as you try to manage your time, who am I preaching to? Me. Okay. As I try to manage my time, I need to make sure that the most important thing in my life gets a time slot. Right? Somehow or another, I need to make sure spending time with God is the top of my list. You know what we usually do? I do my devotions after I finish everything else. Nope. I need to put it at the top of the list. This is the most important thing in my life, my relationship with God. Now, according to this text, what's the second most important thing in my life? My relationship with people. And so I need to put on the list, I need to work on my relationship with people. I think I need to start with my family, but that's another, we'll go into that later. But my relationship with people. And because of my particular personality type, I would have a tendency to forget that. that I need to work on relationship with people. My personality type generally thinks people get in the way of what I want to do. So I need, and some of you just kind of stuck up. That's a joke, okay? But anyway, the fact is I need to work on my relationship with people. Just recently we moved our Wednesday night study from the auditorium to the classroom back there. And we're making a part of the class. We're studying the Bible, the main thing we're doing. We're making a part of the class to grow our relationship with each other. Just kind of get to know each other and talk about each other a little bit and all that kind of stuff. Just to be closer together. Because our relationship with people is the second most important thing in our life. So our relationship with God is important and our relationship with people is important. So I need to make sure that gets on my list. Now, I want to talk about time and work. For most of us, work, for students that's going to school, for most of us that's working for a living, work is it's providing somebody else with a service or a product in which they pay me. I make money. Okay? And making money is not a sin. It's not wrong to get paid for what I do. You agree? Making a profit is not sinful. It's not wrong. I grew up, many of my friends were drunks. I know you call them alcoholics today, but we didn't know that word. We had never heard of that word. We call them drunks, okay? And some of my best friends were what you would call alcoholics. And they were really good people. I mean, I was saying was they would give you the shirt off of their back. They would do anything for you. Really, really good people. And many of them had skills. They were skilled laborers. And they would do things. You need somebody to fix something. They would fix it. And you say, "How much? Oh, yeah, nothing. That's all right." And they didn't have enough food to put on the table. But they said, "That's all right. You don't have to pay me." It's not sinful to get paid for your work. It's not wrong. It's okay if you're Bill Gates and you done made millions of dollars that you want to give millions of dollars away, but first you got to make it. You can't give it away before you get it, right? And many of these people that I knew, that I grew up with, never had anything because somehow or another, they thought they were being good old boys by just doing stuff for you free. And that, it just do it for you, and that's okay. You don't have to pay me. I'm your friend. Well, if I hired somebody else to do it, it cost me $10, $20 an hour to get them to do it. So, you know, give me a deal, but don't do it free. Working is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, give you just a minute to go back there. See, it's a defined second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And I want to talk about the secondary meaning of this scripture, not the primary meaning. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days. Let me stop right there. The primary command here is, remember the Sabbath day. The Old Testament Jew, remember the Sabbath day. But I want you to look at the next verse. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, let's admit that the primary purpose of that scripture is remember the Sabbath day. But I want you to notice the secondary meaning of that scripture is I'm to work for a living. That was God's intent for us to work for a living. That was God's intent for us to work for a living. God's plan was, you can look at all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, God's plan is for us to work. Now, I happen to believe that being a full-time wife and mother is work. Although they don't earn any money, I happen to believe that that is, being a full-time wife and mother is work. So that would I would include those in those who work. But generally speaking, what the Bible teaches is I need to work for a living. And it's not bad, it's not evil, it's not sinful. I need to work for a living. That's the right thing to do. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I'm going to give you just a minute to get that because I want you to see it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So to work for a living is biblical. That's all right. Now you say, well, Lee, I thought you were going to talk about time management. Well, the fact of it is, for most of us, a major part of our time is spent working, right? A major part of our time is spent working. And sometimes we have some control over that, but not a lot of control. In fact, as a minister, I have quite a bit of control over how I use my time. But Sunday comes every week. And you probably don't know what I mean by that. But if I don't work on preparing my sermon, Sunday comes anyway. Whether I'm ready or not. And so while I may get an opportunity to keep my grandchild one afternoon during the week, I can rearrange my schedule nearly every time to be able to do that. But somehow or another, if I take that time out to do something I want to do, I got to make up for that time some other time. Now, most of you who work at a regular job are not able to do that. And so, but work takes a major part of our time. And so that has to fit into the process of time management. I got to work for a living. The Bible is very clear about that. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. So working is a part of what God wants us to do. Now I want you to look at Colossians 4:5. Colossians 4:5. It won't hurt your Bible to look it up. It's okay. I probably should have put it on the overhead. That would have been a lot easier for everybody. Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. New American Standard footnotes that and says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. the English Standard Version says, making the best use of the time. Making the best use of the time. I need to make sure that I make the best use of my time. You cannot save time in the same sense that you save money. I know there are certain things you can do that we talk about saving time, meaning I can do it in less time than I would have. But I can't save time in the sense that I save money. Linda and I give each other an allowance every time, twice a month we give each other allowance, and that's our money, personal money. We can just throw away, do whatever we want to, that personal money. It's not a part of the family members, it's our money. But if I were to take 10% of my personal money and save it every time, a year from now, I would have that much money, right? Whatever it was, I would have that much money. I'd done saved it, and I would have it, and I could spend it for whatever I wanted to. I can't do that. I can't save an hour a day and wait a year from now and say, okay, I got 365 hours saved up. I can use it for whatever I want to. You can't save time in the same sense that you save money. You only use time, and time goes by whether you use it or waste it. It still goes by. Yesterday is gone forever. Yesterday is gone forever. I can't get it back. There's nothing I can do to get it back. It's gone. I used it. I may have used it productively, or I may have wasted it all day. Whichever it was, it is gone. And time keeps moving on. When you're young, you don't think it's such a big deal. And those of you young people, I know you sometimes forget, those of us who are older were one time young. It's hard to believe that, but we were. And we had many of the temptations and many of the thoughts, just like you do. And you don't think time is a big deal. I got forever. You know, it's okay. I've got plenty of time. But the fact of it is, you don't. Every one of us has exactly the same amount of time every day. Not all of us have the same length of life. And I don't know why some people die younger than others. The Bible does talk about if I obey my parents, I'll have a long life. But other than that, I don't know anything about why some people live longer than others. I know why we die. We die because of sin. I know that part. But I don't know why certain people live to be 90 years old and certain people live to be 50 years old. I don't know that part. But I do know that every one of us have the same amount of time each day. I have 24 hours every day. And I can use it or waste it. It's up to me. I cannot save it in the sense that I'm going to have it used later. So I need to make the best use of my time. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. So we got Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, that teaches me that I need to use my time productively. I need to make the most use of my time. I need to make sure that I use my time properly. So we're talking about a biblical thing. We're talking about Scripture, that I'm taught in Scripture that I need to use my time correctly. So my question is, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I make my time more effective? Why am I preaching this? Because I don't feel like I've been doing that very good lately. I don't feel like I've been managing my time very good. Probably shouldn't admit this, but you know, when I get tired, one of my temptations is, if I'm tired, is to just do something that's not very important. I hate when the end of the day comes and I've been busy all day and have not accomplished one thing worth anything. I hate those days. Now, I don't mind occasionally having a day in which I do nothing and just enjoy doing nothing. That doesn't bother me if I took off and had fun. That's okay. But if I worked all day long and didn't accomplish anything, that drives me nuts. Man, I worked all day and there's nothing to show for it. I didn't accomplish anything worthwhile. And I have a tendency when I get tired to do that, to just get involved in doing some little thing that is way down the priority list, you know. But it's busy work. I'm busy. I'm doing something. The Bible says I need to make sure that I use my time correctly. How do I do that? I think the way you do that is know your life purpose. Know your life purpose. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What does God want me to do? How did God gift me? What field does God want me to work in? Know my life purpose. Know why I exist. There's a reason why I exist. And it's not the same reason as everybody else, except that I need to glorify God and serve people. Other than that, my purpose may be different than your purpose. But I need to know what it is. I need to make long-term plans. I've often suggested that you need to write your own obituary. You need to write your own obituary. In other words, you need to sit down right now and write down, this is what I would like for people to say about me when my life is over. Because it is very smart to begin with the end in mind. It is very smart to begin with the end in mind, right? If I'm gonna build a room on my house, I need to picture in my mind and maybe on a blueprint or whatever what that thing's gonna look like when it finishes. It doesn't even exist anywhere now except in my mind, but I need to know where I'm going. I need to begin the project with the end of the project in mind. And yet, if we're going to build a room or take a vacation, we make all those plans. But we're going to live a life, we just kind of get up and go around today and do whatever I need to do today and go to bed and get up in the morning and go around today and do whatever I need to do. We don't ever look at the total project and say, well, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to have done, accomplished. I need some help with that grammatically too, don't I? I need to know what I want to have done when I finish. This is what I want my life to look like. So to do that, just stop and write. And this is what I want my life to look like. I want this to be true about me. Whether people say it about me or not, I want that to be true about me. So I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And then each day when I make decisions, I can decide, is this going to help me get there or not? Is this going to help me get where I want to go? It ain't not going to help me. You see, the biggest threat to what's best for your life is what's good for your life. The biggest threat to what's best for your life is what's good for your life. The biggest problem with keeping first things first is not keeping first things ahead of 10th place things. The biggest problem is keeping first place things ahead of second place things. Right? That's where the big problem is. I know many preachers, shouldn't say that. I know some preachers who basically have ruined their health and lost their family because they were so dedicated to their job. They were so dedicated to their job and helping everybody else that they forgot the most important thing in my life is my relationship with God. And if I don't take care of that, if I don't take care of that relationship with God, my effectiveness in helping other people is going to go away. Now, my relationship with God is never urgent unless I'm in an accident or a foxhole. You know what I mean? It's never urgent. Your relationship with God during the last week has not been banging on the door and saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. No, your relationship with God just kind of is out there. And if you don't make it a priority, it's not going to be a priority. Nobody else is going to make it a priority for you. You got to do it. And I need to make sure that my relationship with God is the top of the list. You said, Lee, but that's selfish. Yeah, I guess it is. But if I don't take care of my spiritual life, there will be no way that I'm going to be able to help other people with their spiritual life. So my relationship with God is important. I need to know what's important and what's not important. I need to be able to choose as the options I have what I'm going to do next. Is this important? How do you decide what is important or not? Whether it fits in with my long-term goals. Whether it fits in with what I want to accomplish with my life. Stephen Covey. Anybody know who Stephen Covey is? Stephen Covey, 89 years old, fell off his bicycle 2 or 3 weeks ago and died. But anyway, that's not funny. I shouldn't laugh at that. But anyway, Stephen Covey wrote a book a number of years ago, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And Stephen Covey was a Mormon, so I would disagree with some of his religious views. But the book was a great book. The idea of beginning with the end in mind came from Stephen Covey. And he also talked about time management and gave four quadrants, I believe he called them, that there are some things that are urgent and important. There are some things not urgent but important. There are some things that are urgent but not important. And some things that are not urgent and not important. Now, if you've never read the book, that was too quick for you to go through that. But anyway, some things are urgent. We have to, there are deadlines at work. And it's important. If I don't get it done, I'm going to get fired. And I got to do it by Friday. Got to do it. And there's no question. Got to do it. So that's urgent and important. But there's some things, like your relationship with God, is very, very important, but it's hardly ever urgent. I mean, it has happened to me more than once. I'm in my office reading my Bible, having my devotions, being in my prayer time. And the phone rings, and somebody wants to sell me another phone system. I'm not against salesmen. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd probably be a salesman. So I'm not opposed to that. Nothing wrong with that. Except the urgent took the place of the important. When I stopped reading my Bible and answered the phone, what'd I do? I took away from the most important thing in my life to something. I'm not even interested in getting another phone system. I'm happy with the phone system we got. So there was no interest, none. And yet, that took priority. And guess what happens when you try to go back to your devotions? It's hard to get back there. So I need to make sure that I spend time on what's important to me. I used to talk about, in this illustration I gave from Ivy Lee, was I list all the things I got to do, and then pick out the top one and go with that one. I like that idea, except it's a little bit backwards. I don't need to prioritize my schedule as much as I need to schedule my priorities. I don't need to prioritize my schedule as much as I need to schedule my priorities. What I mean by that? My priority is God, right? So I need to put God on the schedule. I need to put God on the schedule. My priority ought to be to develop relationship with other people. I need to set aside time for that because it takes time to do that. It doesn't just happen automatically. It takes time. And I need to do that. So I need to schedule my priorities. I need to say this is important in my life and therefore this is going to get some time. Now, what happens to me recently is that get tired as the day go on. And by the end of the day, even though this may take away from what I'm really trying to say, but I've been planning to wash my truck every night for the last 3 weeks. You know what happens? I plan to wash it at night. And you know what happens at night? I'm tired. And dirt will wait. There's nothing urgent about it. You know, it'll be the same tomorrow, so I need to wash. Plus, it's going to rain anyway, so I don't need to wash it today. But the tragedy is that for many of us, my time with God is like me washing my truck. I plan to do it. I even want to do it. But I'm tired today. I'll do it tomorrow. So managing my time is very, very important. And keeping my priorities straight. In fact, I think practicing priorities is the most difficult part of life. I don't have any trouble deciding. If you were to ask me, Lee, do you want to read your Bible or go see the Braves play? I can tell you like that. In a minute, I care nothing about the Braves. Yeah, nothing. The last time I went to the Braves game, when everybody else took the seventh inch and stretched, I walked around the gizmo. I just said, man, I'm tired of sitting here. I can look at about two innings, but I'm not interested. You may be interested. That's a whole different story. I'm not interested. So you ask me, you going to read your Bible? Go to the Braves game. I know automatically. Not a problem. But how about if you say, well, do you want to read your Bible or go out for a steak dinner? Now we got more of a temptation. now we're talking about several top priorities that we got to keep in the right order. And all I'm trying to illustrate is I need to make sure that what I say is my priorities stay as my priorities in real life. In real life. That if God is really first in my life, then God will get some of my time. If God is really first, God will get some of my time. That means I spend time in Bible reading. That means I spend time in Bible study. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in worship, corporate worship with other people, and those kinds of things. And those kinds of things take time. But if God is my priority, then I need to give some of my time to my priority. And you see, I ran out of time, but I wanted to read you several quotes I had about time that I like. And one of them is my own quote, that life is short, so make sure the day counts. Life is short, so make sure the day counts. Another one is, you get done what you spend your time doing. You get done what you spend your time doing. Another one was, a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Mayer, wrote a book on time management, and he suggested the best way to manage your time is take a big sheet of paper and write down everything you got to do and pick out the most important one, do it. Work on that one until you finish it. When you finish that one, go down the list, see what's the second most important thing, then do that one. Just do the most important stuff first. What I'm saying to you as Christians is that God needs to be on the list. God needs to be on the list. Because, see, I'm going to write a list of things I got to do tomorrow. I'll write down all these things I got to do. But personal devotion's not on that list. Memorizing scripture's not on that list. Reading the Bible's not on that list. Having a prayer time's not on that list. Calling a friend who's going through trouble is not on that list. That's just a list I got to do. But what happens when I start working on my list that I got to do? And the end of the day come, and I've done everything else, but what I said was the most important thing in my life, which was my relationship with God. I need to manage my time in such a way that what's important is important practically. Not just in theory, but in reality. That is true. We got all kinds of stuff we got to do. Most of us got to work. We got to go to school. We got to do all kinds of stuff that we don't have a lot of control over. I can't change that. But somehow, I got to keep first things first. And for Christians, first things include God. Just got to. It's just got to. It's also got to include fellowship with other Christians. I also got to include doing what God wants me to do in this life. You talk to any person who's near death, anybody, talk to any person near death and see how many times they will tell you, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. I wish I'd have spent more time making money. They may tell you, I wish I'd have spent more time with God. I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. You see, I know those things are important, but they just kind of get pushed down if I'm not careful. I need to include God on my time schedule. And he needs to be close to the top. And I'm going to spend time with him.